The Age of Infinite Treasure. I was always very happy about 3D printing. I taught myself precision modeling in Blender. I spent countless hours at the microscopic level in one of my 3D printed wallet prototypes. From the design perspective in my program, I was about the height of the thickness of a credit card. I carefully studied precision design, chamfering corners that no 3D printer could ever print in such great detail. I chose wallet design because it was interesting and simple. I was able to print out wallet components and then connect it all together with fancy thread-wrapped elastic bands. And I actually own thick rubber money clips now, which could hold my wallets together perfectly, make them stylish and amazing. Think of this as a composite wallet design, rubber and PLA, the materials that 3D printers print in. But I detected that there would be no stopping if I just continued. 3D modeling and printing is just about a 10 on my fascinating scale. I bravely pushed myself away from my fantastic wallet prototypes. And I dove into jewelry making, including spending a whopping $8 on Baroque motifs. I imagined an intricate solid brass ring. The Baroque geometry meshes weren't perfect. Good for games, but not for precision modeling that I enjoyed. They were Baroque meshes worth $8, but also profoundly educational. As I was sitting down to create precision-engineered brass jewelry, which I could sell on the internet under a print-on-demand model, basically, a well-known, seemingly small company offers a storefront and only prints and casts the jewelry or the creations when a sale is actually made. Pretty cool. But at that moment, something even more incredible captured my attention. In a way, the other spectrum of 3D printing. 3D scanning. What if instead of modeling a ring in an application, I made it out of clay, scanned it, tied it up, and put it up for sale that way? And as I was entertaining this rather incredible thought, looking at jewelry photos, pendants, and rings, I came across a photo of an ancient artifact. A fat little figurine of a prehistoric dame. And the idea of copying an ancient artifact and turning it into a pendant or ring or earring just stole my heart. A precision-made lion head ring is wonderful, especially if it comes with a matching wallet and a bracelet. But oh my! A perfect replica of prehistoric mammoth carving, turned into a necklace, earrings, or bracelet doodads. Now that is not just special, but also mystical. Suddenly, the Venus figurine we are all familiar with stops being a museum piece and becomes a little keepsake anyone can own. We can then ponder what was life like back then. I suspect the ladies were leaders of all the tribes. They were the most admired, the strongest, and the wisest. And on top of that, you can also hold the mammoth figurine in your hand. Maybe the mammoths were family treasures that warriors made for their kids, as they needed to train them in the art of taking down a gigantic mammoth. This was no longer a product for sale. This was now something I wanted to own. And then, just to make things even more interesting, and I mean it, I'm a huge fan, I discovered that museums collect prehistoric knives. And making even plastic replicas of those still has me in awe. A prehistoric letter opener would be amazing. And these would be replicas of real weapons, tools of real great warriors. They look so cared for and so primitive. The best of them have antler handles, quartz or obsidian blades. What a treat to print out and hold in your hands. Yikes! And again, I ended up in danger of never returning from this incredible world. And I pushed myself away and I said, "Hey, I'm a computer programmer. My time is always precious, and if there is any 3D printing to be done, especially the base components for jewelry, I need to do it through programming. Boolean 3D geometry is fascinating in itself. Imagine a 3D rectangle that has been programmed with all its little X, Y, and Z coordinates. Now make a second one, slightly smaller, and say, subtract the little one from the big one. And that creates a pocket in the larger rectangle. That's how you use Boolean geometry. It's incredibly simple. It is also infinitely fascinating." I had to go back to programming, so I returned to my studies of visual programming languages with a focus on building them. I made many little variations. I'm very well educated on the subject. Earlier this week, I came across Comfy UI, a visual programming language for artificial intelligence models. It's free and open source. Before I knew it, my curiosity had me eagerly awaiting something that shouldn't freaking exist. An artificial intelligence that creates 3D models from 2D pictures. Again, open source and free. So I dragged the famous Venus on the image node in Comfy UI and clicked run. Oh boy. 20 seconds later, that's really all it took. There she was, fully three-dimensional. And let me tell you something, it's just that angle that makes her look fat. If you just look at it normally, then it's a normal person. You know what I did after? I dropped a modern ring design on the image canvas, and then a prehistoric knife, and a ton of other artifacts, most of which I didn't even read about. They all transformed into 3D objects in seconds. And then, in all this incredible, speechless confusion and fury, I realized that I don't really need to design a base bracelet to hold the little gadgets and replicas together. I can just tell the AI to generate the pendant and the earrings and the components of the bracelet as images, and then send them in for 3D processing to make a model. Finally, my computer crashed because I connected the image generator to the 3D mapper and told it to start creating images of bracelets that are studded with famous ancient artifacts. I don't know how to tell the computer to unload one AI model and load the next, though I learned a lot about Linux RAM compression and large VRAM swap files. I have a 128 GB swap file waiting for a huge model. I went to sleep, wondering, how is all this possible? What is this world we live in now? That I can realistically program a production line of prehistorically themed jewelry. Then, after a few hours, wake up to creations no one has ever seen before. I wonder if perhaps the 3D prototypes would not be precious enough to actually pay a proper jewelry designer to model them by hand and get serious investors interested. Still, for knives and my personal favorite, the cowboy belt buckle, you don't need much more than this. Print it out, put it in plaster, melt out the PLA plastic, melt some copper in your furnace, and then cast it. You get yourself a belt buckle going. Oh, yes. And you know what? For all the artifacts lost to history, even a Venus statue purely generated by artificial intelligence is still a wonder and a little treasure. What an age to live in. Come the day humanity takes to the stars, that won't be nearly as fascinating and colorful as our discovery of generative AI.